Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, my next guest was one of MIT's top innovators under the age of 35. He co-founded Fingo, Africa's first digital bank aimed at the youth market. He's with me today to talk about his latest book, Fintech Wars, Tech Titans, Complex Crypto, and the Future of Money. It's great to welcome James DaCosta to the show. Welcome, James.
Bobby, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to chat.
Now, firstly, James, you might give us your definition of fintech, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. Well, you know, the way I think about fintech is it's really about kind of how money moves and the technology that helps money move around the world, and the coming together of finance, which I think everyone knows, the finance industry, money, and technology, which of course everyone knows as well. And it's just the smashing together of these two things that helps us, live our daily lives easily, send money between us, businesses between them. Of course, there's a very famous set of Irish entrepreneurs that started one of the biggest fintechs in the world, Stripe.
That's right.
There's so much interesting stuff, I think, behind the scenes that we don't see, even when you think of Amazon, when you think of Facebook, when you think of interesting internet applications. A lot of what enables it behind the scenes is fintech. And that was one of the reasons that got me excited to write the book.
Okay. And when you talk about fintech, I think you said yourself that it used to be about putting financial products on a website, but now it's so much more than that. And would I be right in saying that labor is now becoming the new software?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. You know, there's so much interesting stuff in that because, our bank accounts, our checkbooks, that was the first wave of fintech, of just putting those things online. But there's so much legacy infrastructure or kind of painful manual processes around those things. So, you can put your checkbook online, sometimes it takes, 2 weeks to get a bank account in some places in the world. Certain transactions and sending money in certain ways are just, really, really painful, or you can't get hold of customer service. And so, with AI, with software, you can really bring the time to all those things to zero and make it really easy for people to send money between them and, access financial services wherever you are in the world.
Is there not one huge implication here, James? And that is, I suppose, the role of the banks, and particularly the traditional type pillar banks. Like, they're not going to want to be left behind in an era where everybody else seems to be coming in eating their lunch.
Yeah, it's a really interesting a point you raise there. And I think, if we look at the UK, or if we look at, Brazil is very interesting. In the UK, we had these digital banks, Monzo, Revolut, Starling come up. In Brazil, Nubank. And these banks have basically become these digital-only banks with no branches, totally different to how we traditionally thought about it, have become some of the biggest financial institutions in all of these countries. But I think the interesting thing now is 10 years later, now the big banks are starting to fight back. They've been around so long, they've weathered all these crises, that they've held on. And now with AI, they still have all the data of their millions of customers. And so they are creating interesting experiences and doing interesting things. And I think, the next 10 years will be maybe more of a battle between the last 10 years with startups competing with each other and taking share from the incumbents. Maybe the incumbents will fight back over the next 10 years. So I think that'll be something to watch out for.
And I suppose they probably have the reserves to do it in terms of the assets, the cash to go to bat. Like, it's a different thing taking on a startup, but taking on an established business, they might have to dig particularly deep.
Absolutely. And, it's both amazing and then surprising. So, Robinhood the digital trading platform has about, I think, about $100 billion in assets under management, which is huge. But UBS, the biggest wealth manager in the world, added that much, I think, just one quarter last year. And so, you know, the scale of our financial institutions and finance in the world is just enormous. And so there's actually so much more innovation for the startups to do and white space for them to go into. And maybe, you know, equally like existing customers and experiences that incumbents can fight back on.
In relation to your own experience in the African market with Fingo, am I right in saying that that's an interesting market because it went from a society that was largely unbanked to one that basically used the phone so that they almost missed the traditional banking piece, at least large swathes of the population did. Is that true to say?
That's a very astute observation. And exactly, they totally leapfrogged. And it's quite interesting because, you know, some years over 50% of Kenya's GDP flows through M-Pesa, which is not a bank account. It's a service that a telecom provides. So it would be like EE or T-Mobile or O2 in the UK having sort of a payment service on top that you can send money between people. And that is amazing. It means basically every person in Kenya has access to digital financial services. There's no need to use cash in Kenya. People don't really use cash for the most part, even in very poor areas. But the issue is, you know, with some of that leapfrogging is, you know, when you don't have access to a bank account, it's hard to access credit. It's hard to access other financial products. And that's one of the reasons why we started Fingo is we thought, okay, well, Africa has, I think, the biggest actually youth population in the world. It's great that everyone has access to digital money, but we think they need bank accounts as well because it enables you to access so much more and engage in the, you know, the world economy better. It's easier said than done, and you have to dance regulation and incumbents and other startups and everything else.
When it comes to cash, and it's interesting you mentioned Kenya there, almost being a cashless society, one of the reasons that cash seems to be hanging on in many economies is around the black economy, because I assume that everybody, you know, that fintech is going to be delivering a level of technology that will mean that everything will be traceable, whereas cash can do exactly the opposite. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's very true, right? It's a delicate balance, and you know, even in the kind of the US, kind of some of the new mobile products and digital innovations over the last decade, take Venmo. You know, it was acquired by PayPal and more recently, you have to submit your kind of Venmo payments as part of your tax returns in the US. And yeah. So sort of everything is, you know, everything in the digital world, as you say, is coming back full circle. And I do think that's, you know, one reason why one set of people sort of have moved towards kind of crypto because they want the ability to, you know, have a secure way to send money, but under surface don't necessarily want that anonymization. At the same time, you know, another part of the black economy is it's kind of moving money around the world, and so people take big wads of cash into Wells Fargo and places like that to send money across the world. And there are kind of digital platforms that let you do it a lot easier. So, you know, I think this is something that's still playing out. And, you know, even, you know, if you say some of the cash economy is about fraud, but there's a whole lot of fraud that happens on digital platforms as well.
Yeah. You mentioned crypto there. Where do you see it heading in the next 5-10 years?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we've seen, you know, talking to folks in the book, I interviewed Devin, who founded a company called OpenSea, which is the largest kind of NFT platform in the world. And I interviewed another fantastic CEO, David Marcus, who was president of PayPal, who started Facebook Libra, and now is running a company called, or an organization called Lightspark. And, you know, I think kind of from speaking to these folks, you know, we've seen that crypto is here to stay. It's, a part of everyone's kind of investment basket, from the big institutional firms. Now it's an asset that people are investing in. And it's, you know, the blockchain behind it is a unique piece of technology. And so I think, you know, what I heard from people in the book is really, I think we're going to see some really interesting crypto use cases on cross-border payments and enabling people to send money instantly around the world between countries. And I think there's a lot of really interesting use cases there.
Yeah. And I suppose it is, will the planets or the world ever align on this? Because there's different sort of fintech things happening in developed countries versus underdeveloped. Do you see them all harmonizing at any stage?
Yeah, that's one of the interesting things is, you know, something that's happened in Brazil and India over the last, couple of years, is they have instant central bank free payments between people. So you can send an instant payment in a very easy kind of mobile interface between businesses, between other people. That is better than the UK, than the US, than anywhere. And so you've, again, from emerging economies, seen this almost world-class innovation. And I think the next wave will be, okay, how do you harmonize all this innovation within countries, between them? And I think that's what we'll see over the next 10 years is whether that harmonization happens, or we just continue to have, you know, different financial ecosystems in different places around the world.
All right. Well, look, it's a fascinating subject. It's an interesting book too. FinTech Wars, Tech Titans, Complex Crypto and the Future of Money. And thanks to the author there, James DaCosta. Thank you, James. We'll talk to you again soon.
What a pleasure, Bobby. Thank you very much.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.